Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
This is Radio City Talk.
Yeah, welcome to another edition of Mental Health Monday here on Radio City Talk. Every single Monday at 2:15, we like to sit down and we talk through mental health matters, all kinds of different issues, both problems, solutions, hopefully, as well. And in the run-up to the festive period as well, we thought we'd put together something of a celebrity special and get a sense that actually there are people out there who may be high profile, who may, or you may know their name, and they may have their own thoughts on mental health. It's a matter which affects people of all different backgrounds, all different walks of lives. Some celebrities get the opportunity to talk about their passions as well. In this case, you're going to be hearing from both a pussycat doll and also one of the most famous men involved in fashion in this country, Gok Wan. More guests on the way as part of this week's Mental Health Monday. It's a celebrity special. A reminder as well, though, as part of last week's show, we announced that we've got a special date coming up. The 15th of January 2018 is officially Blue Monday, the most depressing day of the year. That's what it's known as. We thought that would be a really good opportunity to sit down and talk about mental health, not just for half an hour or 1 hour or 3 hours or 8 hours, but we're going to do it for 24 hours. I'm going to be discussing mental health on the radio for an entire day, starting at 9 o'clock in the morning, starting on that Monday. And we're going to talk until 9 o'clock on Tuesday morning. As part of that, I'm going to be speaking to a whole host of different people. And hopefully, if you listen to this, you can be part of it too. If you want to be part of a 24-hour Mental Health Monday marathon, email the program, tell us how you want to get involved, whether or not you want to come in the studio, you just want to support the show, and email me, mick@radiocity.co.uk. Now, as you can imagine, me and producer Lizzie are working quite hard to make sure we've got loads of different types of guests. We've got a full day's worth of programming lined up as well, and hopefully some big names will be signed up to it too. mick@radiocity.co.uk. It's going to be the Mental Health Monday marathon. It's going to take place 24 hours, commencing 9 a.m. on Blue Monday. That is the 15th of January, 2018. mick@radiocity.co.uk if you want to be part of it.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.
Okay, so it's Mental Health Monday. I am very pleased to say we have now got a pussycat doll on the programme. Kimberly Wyatt, thank you for your time. Thanks for joining us on the programme.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
It's always great to hear people who are famous talking about their experiences of things which maybe you wouldn't expect them to have, i.e. problems, because you're famous, you've sold millions and millions of records, everyone knows who you are. What problems could you have? And it's that naughty little couple of words, social media, is creeping around again. But it's not just about, you know, the Facebook site or the Twitter sites or the comments on Instagram. It's about how we speak to people, how we deal with people, how we want to make other people feel. What's been your experience, Kimberly, of social media and what people have been saying to you?
It's been interesting because I was born into a world that didn't have social media. I had a huge passion for dance, which led to being in the Pussycat Dolls, which led to, you know, massive success around the world and becoming famous. And then social media became this huge craze, and everyone has now these keys of courage. And I sort of got into this industry to dance, and I really wasn't looking for this beauty pageant that life has become for women now because of social media. And with that, just this backlash of people either just having an opinion that they must share or just having these keys of courage that want to go out there and bully other people. And so having that balance between knowing who you are, knowing your worth, and having resilience enough to fight against that has been a real struggle. It's extremely difficult. And, you know, I think that there now needs to be time for people, women, a safe place to go online where you can get filled with that resilience and that and meet other like-minded people that have empathy for the ups and downs that all of us are going through.
Yeah, it always seems a shame when we have to introduce the word resilience, which is basically it. We need to start to think about accepting the fact that some people are just horrible, that some people will say deeply unpleasant things rather than coming up with a different solution, which is to stop those people coming up with those opinions in the first place. And it's almost like the genie's out of the bottle and there's no going backwards.
It's true. And I think that wellness is more important than ever now. And working with Your Good Skin, it's incredible products. But what's even more amazing about them is they've created this online platform for women to go be empathetic towards one another and really support each other when they're trying to, you know, start the journey to having the best skin that they're in. The hashtag Good Skin for Life. It's about a movement of you know, making that change that the world needs so badly right now, where so many kids and stuff are now becoming adults, having lived through social media, having never been able to get away from the bullying and the comments and whatnot. And the effect that has on a person's confidence is crazy. I know, because I've dealt with it time and time and time again. My skin almost cost me my job going into the Pussycat Dolls. And then being on television, you know, everybody has something to say. And my skin has always been something I've had trouble with. I've got loads of acne scars. I had cystic acne. And, you know, people just want to find your weakness and poke on it. And the more people find the outlet to poke at you, the more it really takes effect into your everyday life and your confidence. And that's all you really have when it comes to making your dreams come true, being a good person, finding that happiness. And that's when wellness became sort of my life's passion. My life's ambition is to bring more wellness activities to everyone, especially kids and the next generation of dreamers and doers. Because I know it's taken me a lifetime to figure out what wellness means to me, and we need to start planting those seeds.
There's something particularly vicious as well about the fact that, you know, somebody's deepest flaw in their own regard gets turned into a weapon to be used against them. As you talked about, you know, having acne growing up, presumably every time you looked in the mirror, you know, you could see it worse than anyone else kind of looking in at you, who probably gone, you know, Kimberly, we see you for who you are. But then when you put a picture on social media, suddenly that's used as the weapon against you. Oh, have you seen the state of her? Or, you know, it might be a physical disability that somebody's got. And suddenly that your deepest feelings about yourself, your deepest concerns about yourself and what your weaknesses might be are used as a weapon against you.
Absolutely. And, you know, 1 in 3 women receive negative comments about their appearance online. And half of those comments are about their skin. And that's just in 3 months. So the amount of negativity that's coming at you within a year, couple years, is pretty unbelievable.
I mean, but in terms of your own career as well, I mean, people will say, well, you know, don't worry about them, Kim. I mean, your success through dancing, the Pussycat Dolls, everything you're doing on TV now, you know, why do you even need to worry about those things? But what is it for you that makes those sort of comments stick? Because it can be anyone, it can be anonymous accounts, it can be unidentified accounts as well, but what is it that makes them so hurtful?
I don't know, and that's the problem. Why is it that you can read positive comments and then have that one little comment that affects you more than anything? I know what that feels like. And why? Because now I'm a mom and I've got these 2 gorgeous little girls that are growing up in this world, and I want to help them. You know, as much as I'm helping myself, I also want to help that next generation have those wellness activities, have that awareness of this crazy online world that we now live in, and be able to battle through it, hopefully, successfully. But I know you're bound to have those knocks, and it's how you deal with those knocks that ultimately makes a difference. But I just want to, I've just found that because of this new world that we live in, I want to make a difference.
I mean, sometimes as well, you get a sense online that there's a pack mentality toward people where you think, everybody's criticizing Kimberly from the Pussycat Dolls today. Let's all get on it. Now it's time to have our say. And I wonder whether or not, you know, the innocent bystander now, maybe it's time for them to step up and say, hey, that's not on. We're not having that. We're not going to be doing that. And actually, as a community, social community online, or however you want to look at it, we're not going to stand for that.
Absolutely. And I think that, you know, millennials get a lot of flack, but ultimately, millennials are growing up in a world that's so much different than it ever used to be. And I think that the struggles and the amount of negativity that you're faced is just 100% more than it used to be. And how you deal with those is not easily accessed. So you have to go find these communities to get that support that you need, to find those empathetic people that will understand and be there for you through those ups and downs. And way back when, I didn't have any of that. So I remember creating my own online site, Beautiful Movements, where I could bring people together that were like-minded and wanted to support, you know, finding your passions and reaching for a dream. And I find that that's quite difficult, but I do love that, you know, now there is this yourgoodskin.com website you can go to. There's a community of women that's ready to provide that support. And the only ugly thing in there is the negativity. It's all about, you know, finding the solutions.
Do you think that, you mentioned the website there, do you think that actually, rather than just everybody disappearing off the internet, shutting down their Twitter accounts and Facebook accounts, actually the internet can be part of the solution, that people can actually find communities that will help them through the internet?
I really do. I don't think the internet is going anywhere. So learning to have a good relationship is the ultimate focus. And at least having these portals at the moment to go to and support one another and find like-minded, empathetic people is sort of the solution for now. But I think what's genius about the internet is it has opened up this conversation. So people are now aware of both sides of it. You know, the good things are that are going on, you can go and find those. The negativity is just absolutely everywhere. So at least we have that conversation now of why is it and how do we stop it?
Just tell us about the Youth Sport Trust that you're involved in as well, because you're out in 12,500 UK schools. I must admire your commitment to the UK, by the way. And I don't just mean putting up with Greg Wallace on Celebrity MasterChef. Just tell us about that, because it's not just about physical fitness in terms of everything that comes with sport as well. It includes looking after people's mental health too.
Well, this is it. This is such a huge passion of mine that I really do want to make a difference. So I went to the House of Lords and met with Baroness Sue Greenfield, who is an amazing woman, the head of the Youth Sports Trust. And I was just sharing my passion about wanting to bring wellness and fitness through dance to schools around the country, because as much as we're giving, you know, young kids that academic success and that focus, I think that wellness is such a huge part of educating our young people, especially in the world they live in now. And so I did a 5 sort of school tour pilot to see how it would go, and worked with the kids and the teachers and brought wellness and fitness activities using dance to excite them and make it feel fun, as well as working with the neuroscientist Baroness Sue Greenfield. Sorry, the Baroness that I worked with Youth Sports Trust is Sue Campbell, and the neuroscientist is Susan Greenfield. And I learned so much about what social media is doing to our kids' brains and how it numbs the front cortex, and how we have to now, because we're at that tipping point of it going one way or the other, instill good habits with our online lives.
Brilliant stuff. Kimberly, thank you for your time. Really appreciate you joining us on Mental Health Monday. For our listeners, just so they know, throughout the entire interview, you had your leg right up over your head, as is your trademark pose. Can you still do that, by the way?
I sure can.
Do you have to test it like every couple of days just to make sure?
Well, because I have a 12-week-old. So in the past couple of weeks, I've just been testing it to make sure. And I've got these 3 books out. So I've been doing book festivals. And of course, the kids are like, so what's your favorite dance move? And I have to go to the move that I'm known for. And then, of course, they're like, show us. So it's tried and tested, and it still exists.
I've got a 3-year-old who can do the gymnastic roly-polies and everything like that that I can't do. So your kids are going to grow up thinking, oh, right, I really need to make sure I'm stretching every single day just so I can match my mum.
My firstborn was in there with one leg above her head the entire time. No joke.
Kimberly, an absolute pleasure to get you on the program. Really appreciate you joining us on Mental Health Monday. And we wish you all the best with all the endeavors that you're involved in as well. And thank you for your support as well for the mental health community too.
Thank you so much for having me.
There you go. Pussycat Doll, Kimberly Wyatt on Mental Health Monday.
Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
Yeah, Mental Health Monday, Christmas celebrity special. We'll call it a Christmas special. We're doing another one next week, so don't worry about that for the time being. And we're speaking to people who might have quite high profile about their own mental health story. So already on the programme, we've heard from Kimberly Wyatt, who's one of the Pussycat Dolls, talking about her own experiences and also what she's doing as well to try and help the next generation. Next guest on our celebrity special is someone I was talking to who was, he's a big fan of Liverpool. It's probably fair to say Liverpool is a city rather than the football club. I didn't ask him about the football. Gok Wan. Now, Gok and I were having a conversation about independent shops at around the Christmas time of year, but I knew that he was a proud advocate of talking about mental health and actually talking about it openly and honestly as well. So Gok and I had a conversation in that regard, particularly based around the fact that it's nearly Christmas and this is a time of year where some issues can really come to a fore.
It can be really tough, you know, as much as we're surrounded by the festivities and the love and the support, you know, if you are in a difficult place in your life at the moment, so that might be a place that you've always had, it might be a genetic place, it might be down to circumstances, it might be the break of a relationship or the loss of a loved one or something else. And so we have to really care about the people around us. And I think that we have to be very sensitive about that. I know that, you guys do a lot of work with mental health, and I do as well. And I think just even by talking about it right now, it's improving the lives of a lot of people out there to know that they're not on their own. Because, of course, when we see so many people celebrating and feeling super happy, if you're not in a very good place in your life or in your head at the moment, often what that can do is that can give you a very direct comparison. And I think that's sometimes the trickiest thing with mental health, is the idea that people can think they are on their own. And especially actually with the homeless as well. I always think about that at this time of year, because so many people that are living on the streets, they are suffering with mental health problems. And we kind of forget that sometimes. We forget, we just think that they're asking for money or for, you know, they're roaming the streets. Actually, you know, these people probably are really struggling. And I think we have to be more sensitive to it, and we have to try and make as much difference as we possibly can.
And I think as well, you know, this time of year, we build up to these things, don't we? We build up to these sense of occasions. You know, we spend a little bit more money on ourselves. We concentrate maybe a little bit more on what we look like. We spend a little bit more on food. We drink a bit more. And I just wonder whether or not for some people, actually, you know, January hits them like almost like a cliff edge, where suddenly that's all over. All that fun time, all that great time that we were having or pretending to have is gone.
Yeah. Well, let's hope it's not pretending, and let's hope that we can do it. I think, you know, there's a chemical imbalance that happens in January, which is a serotonin level depletion, which is the fact that, you know, we've spent a month of, like you say, you know, partying and drinking more and eating more and seeing more people and being far more sociable, that you do get into January and February and it can feel, you know, quite bleak and quite, you know, quiet and all that kind of thing. I think it's about making sure that you've got stuff in place to help you. And from a body confidence point of view as well, you know, if you are going to indulge over Christmas and you are going to feel different about, you know, your bodies, I think about that, getting that prepped in your head to know that that's going to happen will always help you with that in the new year. I know it definitely, from a personal point of view, it definitely helps me to go, right, okay, do you know what? I'm just going to enjoy myself, and, you know, and I'll probably relook at this in January. It doesn't come as a massive shock. I mean, Do you know what I mean?
No, absolutely. But I guess as well, if you looked at yourself in the mirror on the 1st or 2nd of January, you might think, oh, this has been a heavy 3 or 4 weeks. And I guess if you make decisions about yourself and who you are at that point, really, you're not doing it in almost the right frame of mind.
Yeah, and I think that also the thing is, wouldn't it be wonderful not to be living in that sense of dread? The idea that, you know, right now we're talking about this in December and we're already dreading how we're going to feel in a month's time. I think wouldn't it be a wonderful place that if we could understand our brains and not have to prepare ourselves for that?
Now, what a great shout. Absolutely. In terms of mindfulness, Gok, what are your sort of your key steps that you take to sort of stay on track, to keep your mind just where you need it to be?
Do you know what? I think being thankful is a really important thing, is really realizing what we have around our lives at the moment, and, you know, the people that care and love us and all of that stuff, and also making an effort. You know, I do believe that, you know, often when I've struggled with my mental health, is often because I forget actually what I've got around me and all of the good stuff, and so making sure that you've got all of that in place, really. No, for me anyway.
No, absolutely. Gok, thank you for your time today. Really appreciate you.
Okay,
on
no
the
worries.
So give us one more top tip then for mental health, for those people who are thinking about this time of year, thinking about maybe the way that they look, the way that they feel at this time of year, what would you suggest to them?
I would say it's the time of year that you should be happy and celebrating, and really celebrating every single part of your life, including your body. You may not love it, but try and accept it a little bit more.
Gok Wan on Mental Health Monday. That's our second celebrity guest as part of this week's Mental Health Monday. Don't forget, the 15th of January is the date of our Mental Health Monday marathon. Thank you to people who are emailing and offering to be part of it, and really appreciate it. And the chances are we will need every single person to come on at some point over that 24 hours. We're going to be hosting it from the Radio City Tower. We're going to have live link ups with other studios around the country, if it means getting sort of extra special guests on as well. Me and producer Lizzie and the production team are going to work really hard to try and make it as sort of a varied a show as possible, and to touch on so many different aspects. We will absolutely do our best to keep you right across it, and we'll give you updates as to what else is coming up as part of the Mental Health Monday marathon. We've got like our own sports show looking at mental health in sport. We're going to be looking at local services. We're going to be speaking to people, interviews, and people telling their first hand accounts of battling mental health problems. Right here, Mental Health Monday, the Mental Health Monday marathon, 15th of January 2018. Someone who's got a really busy 2018 is Katie Piper. You may know Katie Piper from being on the TV and her story being in magazines. She was the victim of an acid attack many years ago. Subsequently, her story has been widely shared. She's going on a debut theatre tour next year to talk about what she has learned throughout her time, how to remain positive in the toughest of times. She's going to talk about her own battle with anxiety and opening up old diaries, photo albums and personal memories. And she's going to talk about insecurities, about how you can manage insecurities, how you can find light in the darkest of
times, it's also about confidence. So if any of those things float your boat, if you're interested in seeing that, you can get all the details on the katiepiperandyou.co.uk website, the What's In My Head tour. She joined me in the studio to talk through what it was all about, the tour, and why she was so passionate about talking about it.
So it's the first time I've ever done a live theatre show, and it's talking about mental health, so anxiety, depression, my own experiences of, you know, my story, of, you know, my story is quite well documented of what happened to me being a burn survivor, but how I dealt with it mentally and overcame it. But also there is a little bit of dancing and some costume changes, possibly a bit of singing as well. But it's not just about me. I'm hoping that it will be able to help people and they'll be able to take something from it in their own journey. You know, at the moment we're talking about mental health more than ever, and we're actually focusing on those invisible scars more than ever and how we can actually heal them. So yeah, it's a form of self-help with a bit of humor thrown in.
It's always interesting. Obviously we do the mental health show here at Radio City Talk, and we talk about mental health, and people come to us in a kind of looking for help and advice kind mm-hmm. of way, and you often think, well, we're not professionals, we're purely here to talk about it. You've had your mm-hmm. own experience as well, Katie, but I guess people must come to you and say, what do I do? And you know, you're not medically trained in that particular field, but is that something that you yeah. welcome, or something you wish where you could go, well, that's not for me to answer, but go and speak to these other people?
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting. It was one of the reasons behind the tour, because you're absolutely right. So many people following reading my books and my self-help books will come to me and ask me for advice. And I'll always say, well, look, for me, I used professionals. I used psychologists, counsellors, and all I can give you is my own experience. And I thought actually to go on the tour would be a great way to connect, communicate with people, share experiences. And I think just make the subject less taboo. And, you know, talking about something publicly, openly, honestly, can encourage other people to talk and maybe go and seek the help that they might need that they've been reluctant to do.
Do you think that thing as well about what's in my head, that sometimes people presume that everyone's always feeling positive, everyone always feeling great
right.
and great about themselves, when in reality for virtually everybody it's not the case?
No, you're so right. I mean, even in writing the tour, I've had to be really honest when I'm sort of writing the material. It's not just about what worked for me. It's about what didn't work for me and what was catastrophic and, you know, the coping mechanisms I shouldn't have used and relied on. So hopefully it will give a well-rounded picture. And like you said, not just everything's rosy here, because that's not real life.
And you're about to become a mum again, so that throws you into a slightly different environment, although it's an environment which you've treaded before. Are you prepared for that kind of thing, that whole sort of, well, you know what comes with it? You know, particularly those early months where you readjust, you don't get the sleep, you
yeah.
know, the anxiety goes up because you're thinking, oh, what on earth's going on in my life?
Right.
Will anything ever settle down again? Will I ever get a good night's sleep ever again?
I think nothing can fully prepare you for the realities of parenting, but I think this is, you know, going back to the midwives, this is the vital role they play. They're not just there at the delivery. They are there when you're going through appointments and everything else is quieting down. The visitors have stopped and the work friends have stopped coming round. Now you're on maternity leave for ages. And it's the midwives that check up on you and check in with, are you okay mentally, not just physically?
And is it about, do you think, taking those opportunities, getting that help, if it is, for instance, the midwife coming round to your house, or maybe it is a family member saying, do you want me to go and do the shopping? Do you want me to do your washing up for you? Is it about grabbing those opportunities when they come, rather than saying, no, I'm too proud to actually say I need a little bit of help here?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, as British people, we always are a bit sort of stiff upper lip and sort of proud to accept help. But I think, you know, family and friends, it's such a joyous time for them, a new baby, they want to help. So you must let them in. And again, with all the midwives that have been talking to me throughout the campaign, I went and met one the other week with Pampers. They all say that, you know, they do their job because it's their passion and they love their job. It's more than a job. And you should never be afraid to ask. You know, if you don't ask, you don't get. And that's what they're there for that support.
Well, we've got Katie Piper with us on Radio City Talk. She's supporting Pampers' new campaign. They will donate £1 to the Royal College of Midwives for everyone who talks about their midwife, basically, on social media with the hashtag #ThankYouMidwife. And you can do that on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, whatever social media you're using. In terms of your own experience of mental health, Katie, did it change when you became a parent. People often talk about the whole worldview changes when they become a mum or dad, particularly for the first time. How was it for you?
Yeah, I definitely think, like you touched on, there's an added layer of anxiety because you've got a new person to worry about, somebody to be responsible for. And maybe it makes you turn your attention more to humanity as a whole, because this is the world your child's going to grow up in and your child is the future.
No, absolutely. And I think that's the thing, isn't it? Where you have that as an extra worry, but also you get the opportunity, don't you, as a parents sometimes, to also think that this is a different outlet for joy, because you get the magic moments too.
That's true. Yeah, you get the positive moments that actually material possessions can't replace, money can't buy, and there's some amazing memories you get there.
That's Katie Piper, the latest celebrity to join me on our celebrity edition of Mental Health Monday. I didn't realise I had that many people's names in my contacts book, but who's next in our celebrity list? You're with Mental Health Monday from Radio City Talk.
Radio City Talk. Tackling the stigma.
We're going to take a look at a story now on Mental Health Monday about pressures that men in particular are facing, and whether or not men in some cases are actually turning to alcohol as a way of dealing with the pressure. And you think, well, who are we going to speak to about this one? Well, who better than a 5-time Olympian, a 6-time world champion, 11-time European champion, an 8-time world record breaker, and a 2-time Commonwealth Games title holder, swimmer Mark Foster. Mark, thank you for your time.
Thank you. Do you want to be my agent, by the way? That was very good.
Well, what's your experience in this? Because as an Olympian, we appreciate, as people who sit there watching the Olympics, that you guys are under immense pressure. But then how do you draw that with the comparison and thinking, maybe alcohol might be an option here?
I suppose ultimately I saw the facts and the figures from the Drink Aware campaign, and I find it quite shocking that between 35 and 75-year-olds in men, that's half of those men feel pressured to have a drink, you know, those sort of social pressures. And I think I was an athlete for a number of years, so obviously drinking's not conducive with elite performance. But at the same time, I made a choice to be an athlete and a choice not to drink. That's not saying that I don't like a drink or I don't have a drink. My sort of saying nowadays is, your health is your wealth, and look at all your... do things in moderation. And I know human beings are not very, very good at moderation, but for me, I found it very easy to go to the pub with my mates and ask for lime and soda. Some of my athletic swimming friends, my name is Shandy Pants, because I have a Shandy rather than a pint of beer. I embrace that.
But I wonder whether or not, and actually it's really interesting, this survey, and I think it fits quite nicely into this idea that there's another world that's going on out there, which as a human being, you want to interact with in a certain way, and yet the social nature of it means that you actually have to do things differently. And, you know, to the point where half of blokes are drinking more than they would because they think they have to. And I guess with you and your mates, where they're going, well, of course Mark's not going to be able to drink because he's a 5-time Olympian, 6-time world champion, and so on and so forth. Whereas you were able to kind of break that chain. I guess if you're just a normal bloke sitting in the pub, you know, you may as well grow a second head than show up at a party and go, no, I'm not drinking tonight.
Yeah, I think people do it a lot of the time, obviously, to fit in. But, you know, what's saying, you know, I suppose the thing is, for me, I could quite happily go into a pub and have a lime and soda. And I know a lot of people might go, really, what's the point of going to a pub? It's like having a coffee with decaffeinated. You know, what's the point of that? But a lot of people do it on a night out just to fit in, or go out with their friends just to fit in. And I think I kind of get it. At a young age, I kind of wanted to fit in and not be different. But as we get older, I like being different. And also, I think people respect more that I make a choice to have a shandy, or I have a choice that on about, let's say, the third drink, I have a lime and soda. And what we're trying to do here is, it's not telling people, do you know what, do not drink. It's not about that at all. It's about being conscious and aware that by not having that extra drink, what a difference it can make to your productivity at work. It's linked with sleeping better. I put it in simple terms because people understand and get this, that if you go on the Drink Aware website, there's a Drink Aware calculator. And I just put in, I thought, well, do you know what's a moderate drinker? Let's say 6 glasses of wine or 6 pints a week. And I just worked that out because I get facts and figures and numbers, and that's 1,000 calories a week. And I looked at that in a year and thought, well, that's 52,000 calories of hidden invisible calories, because it's only fluid. And I thought that makes a huge difference to some people's weight. And I think people understand it when you link it to calories and weight. But there's lots of different reasons why I think if people cut back a tiny bit, it can make a huge difference.
I wonder whether or not as well, you know, when we talk about mental health on this programme, you know, the social pressures that come with it. Half of men who drink due to social pressures do so at damaging levels. Almost like this perfect storm that because you feel like you've got to drink, you end up in an environment where there's a group of you, let's say it's a group of men, who then start drinking and not one of them wants to say, you know what, I don't want to drink that much, or can we slow down a bit, or I just want to sort of back off a little bit, or I need to go home. Because there's this thing where suddenly everyone's having to drink, almost just to keep up with the Joneses, where individually each one of those people might actually say, if you ask them, yeah, actually I'm gonna pare it back now.
But that's what it links into them with people binging, isn't it? Because they probably go on that night out, go, oh, don't be different, fit in, just go along with the trend. And then during the week when they're at home and they're just at home, they don't drink at all. So then it's obviously linked in with the sort of binge thing. But also it's that habit of when you go out, you have a few drinks, you have a few drinks, you have a few more drinks. That becomes a habit. And I sort of say to people sometimes, you know, if you're conscious of that habit, make a choice not to drink that extra pint. Then it will become your habit. Make the choice that becomes your habit. So I find it fascinating. Also, 1 in 10 men don't drink any alcohol whatsoever. Mm. And I kind of, people don't like to be a minority, but I think that is, I respect those people because it's kind of like, do you know what, you made a choice and you stick to that choice. And I think people respect you for having that choice.
Yeah, and I guess as well, for someone like yourself, it's about having the confidence to say, no, just a lime and soda for me, or I'll go and get the drinks and my drink, I'll come back with a lime and soda. It's a confidence thing.
And I think also that your friends respect that choice, and also they'll love you even more because when it comes to those Christmas parties, they've now got a designated driver. But I mean, I'm all for the team, so I kind of go, and if you take it in turns to being that driver, then spread it around. And I think the thing is, with all these things that go out, have a good time. This is not about not drinking whatsoever, but just be mindful that cutting out one drink every time you go out will make a huge difference.
Right, you're still a guy who's obviously still in remarkable physical shape. I know you've spoken in the past about, in terms of your own mental health, the idea of getting in a swimming pool, spending time on your own. There's there's no iPod in, you know, there's no music playing. It's just you and your own thoughts as well. Yeah. And obviously you're not thinking about really times and things like that as much anymore. Do you get sort of some improving, or do you still see improvements in your own mental health based on that ability to jump in a swimming pool?
It's a little bit of everything, Mick. I the sight, the sound, the feel of the water, I find it very therapeutic. It's a little bit like meditation for me. I go in the gym probably 3 times a week. Sometimes I do cardio and watch football because it sort of passes the time. You know, some of these things can be boring, but it's finding a distraction, or I always say to people, make it social, do it with friends, do it with family, because then it becomes fun. I do it because I do everything now at 75%. I spent my life, what I say to people, beating my body up for my living. So now I do everything at a sort of a level that's manageable, and also vanity. I like looking good, but I also feel better for it. I sleep better for it. And I generally say to people, it might sound stupid, but life is easier. You know, whether it be running for the bus, going up the stairs for the tube, carrying shopping, being that little bit fitter makes all those things easier.
And for people, I mean, we get many people on this programme who come on and say, you know, they run, they knit, they meditate. Is it simply about just finding what's good for you? And if you've not tried swimming, maybe swimming might be something you want to get into.
Very much so. Very much so. I'd say we all were born in water. In mother's womb, you know, we generally find that any of us, if they want to relax, they radiate towards water, whether it be a coast or when we're on holiday, we end up being round a pool. Everyone likes the noise of water. Everyone likes the look of water. So it's a very relaxing environment. So, yeah, there are a lot of people, my dad couldn't swim, that can't swim. So I sort of say to people, go along and have a lesson. You don't need to be, with all these things, you don't need to be an Olympic champion. It's about being the best that you can be, whether it be at work or whether it be at play, and just trying to being conscious of trying to be a little bit better at everything.
Mark Foster, thank you for your time. I'll repeat, 5-time Olympian, 6-time world champion, 11-time European champion, 8 world record-breaking successes, and 2 Commonwealth Games as well titles. So, Mark Foster, absolute pleasure to get you on Mental Health Monday. We wish you all the best. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much. Cheers, guys.
Mark Foster there, wrapping up this week's celebrity special of Mental Health Monday. Thank you to everybody who's been getting involved in the show, and thank you to all our big names. But it doesn't matter if you're a big name or a small name, you can get involved in Mental Health Monday every Monday from 2:15 here on Radio City Talk. And also, don't forget the Mental Health Monday Marathon. It's going to be the UK media's biggest ever broadcast in regard to mental health, hosted by me for 24 hours straight.
We've got a few people as well to help us along the way. Further details to be announced. If you want to be part of it, drop me an email, mick@radiocity.co.uk. And there's another edition of Mental Health Monday next Monday from Radio City Talk. Thanks for checking out the podcast as well. If you want to do that, you can download all the previous episodes and listen to all of them, hit all the different stories, and also another podcast to come between now and Christmas. I've been Mick Coyle. This is Mental Health Monday.
Radio City Talks Mental Health Monday with Mick Coyle.